Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today on the program, we're speaking with Mr. Ross Cameron, a full-time day trader and founder of Warrior Trading that offers trading tools and educational courses for day traders. And Mr. Cameron, thanks for joining us here today.
Thank you for having me.
And you're certainly more than welcome. Great to have you on with us. I'm sure we'll learn a couple of things from you today. So for starters, how much of trading is textbook knowledge and how much is gut feeling?
So that's a great question. I think that a lot of trading comes down to educated intuition. So getting to this point where you have enough experience that when you're seeing a setup, you're able to actually react to it and take the trade. Because a lot of beginners, you know, they might have sort of textbook knowledge, but they'll see a setup forming and they'll hesitate because they don't yet have that confidence. And my experience is that confidence comes with more time you spend in the chair, studying the charts and being part of the market. So confidence is a result of experience. And once you have that confidence, that's when you have that educated intuition. That's when you stop hesitating and you just press the button. You press the buy button, you press the sell button. And so I would say it's weighted heavily on the gut feeling side, but certainly you can't trade without some textbook knowledge.
Yeah, that certainly does make a lot of sense. Thanks for your feedback there. Now, what are the biggest challenges for the professional day trader?
Well, I would say probably one of the biggest challenges would be handling your emotions, because naturally experiencing loss is going to trigger a response. And for a lot of people, it triggers a fight or flight response. You experience loss and suddenly your palms start sweating, your heart starts pounding, and your immediate reaction is to alleviate that pain. And the fastest way to alleviate that pain would be to make the loss back very, very quickly. But that can then lead to a series of emotionally fueled decisions where you're getting desperate, you're grasping for straws, you're buying anything that's moving just to try to no longer feel the pain of being in the red. And when you're in that state, that fight or flight state, and you're trading like that, that's what we call emotional hijack. You are no longer following the rules of your strategy. Your logical brain, that part of your mind, that is out the window. You're just shooting from the hip. And that is something that can happen even for professional traders. That's why a lot of even big hedge funds will have trading psychologists as part of their payroll to help traders maintain that sort of, I guess you would say, centered and even keeled mindset.
Yeah, the even keeled and balanced mindset has to be huge as a professional day trader. Now, how do you go about developing new products or ideas for Warrior Trading?
Sure. So for Warrior Trading, I'm a really big fan of rapid experimentation. So, you know, one of the things, and it's nice, I have a smaller business, so we're able to get things out the door quickly. But in the past, I would overplan a product or a new class. And what would happen, and this happened many times, is I'd spend a ton of time planning both my time and the time of my team. And then, you know, we'd put it out there and it would just sort of fall flat. And people wouldn't respond to it the way we thought. And so through that experience, I realized that we need to take the temperature of our students, our community, and put things out sooner, even if they're not polished, they're not perfect, just to put it out there and see, let it breathe and see how people react to it. And then from that feedback, that's when we get the conviction that, okay, this is something people really like. Let's go ahead and really, you know, spend now the time. So in a way, for me, it's all about that proof of concept, because, you know, you could spend a tremendous amount of time planning something out, but then you never put it out there. You don't know how people react. And having gone through that several times at this point, I'm a really big fan of rapid experimentation. One of the challenges with this method is that not everyone likes it, because you can break things. You know, you're putting things out there before they're totally ready. Sometimes customers will, you know, they'll be like, oh, wait, this thing isn't as polished. So both from the customer standpoint, but even from my team, not everyone is always on board with that kind of just, you know, getting something raw and rough and seeing how people respond to it. But I feel like for a smaller business, and honestly, even for a big business, that type of sort of screening ideas and getting things out there for proof of concept, it is the best way to get quick feedback about whether or not the direction that you're thinking about going is actually worth spending your time on. So I would say rapid experimentation is my main process of developing ideas.
Certainly appreciate your time and visit with us here today. We're speaking with Ross Cameron, a full-time day trader and founder of Warrior Trading that offers trading tools and educational courses for day traders here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, as we continue on, how has the market changed in the last decade for both day traders and business involved with day trading?
I would say in the last decade, the biggest change has been on the technology side. The market itself is sort of more or less unchanged, you know, the structure of the market, that is. You could still always buy stocks. There's a bid and the ask spread. And that, you know, stocks IPO and all those things are sort of unchanged. But what has developed in the last 10 years, I would say, is access to the market. The market has probably never been more accessible than it is right now today. From your iPhone, you can access the market. You know, 10 years ago, there may have been a few apps, but nowhere near what we have today, both in the retail brokers making their platforms available and accessible to people on a mobile app. They've really encouraged retail traders to participate in the market. Certainly Robinhood coming on the scene with free commissions, that was a really big appeal for people who wanted to kind of start to dabble. And I think with all of these new retail traders, now we've seen an influx of sort of these supporting companies that provide tools like what we provide and provide different types of software and things like that and education. So I would say in the last 10 years, this industry has grown a lot. And it's probably thanks mostly to the accessibility. If the market wasn't accessible, then there wouldn't be as many people interested in it. So it's sort of that combination. And I think this is something that I think about a lot with the 2008 recession versus whether or not we're going to have a recession, you know, this year. One of the big differences is, you know, in 2008, people working from home had such a limit in terms of broadband. You didn't have even internet connectivity to that last mile. Where I was living in Vermont 10 years ago, the only internet we had at the time was DSL, and it was not very fast. Now, almost everywhere has at least cable, and a lot of places have fiber, which I think is a really good thing. It creates this interconnectivity, but it allows us, many of us who are working from home, to freelance and to have these second and third jobs. And if one of them is dabbling in the market, which I think it has been certainly for a lot of people in the last several years, you know, then that's a great thing. So I think interest in the market has changed a lot. I think financial literacy has improved. I'd like to think that it's improved both with access to educational content and also just people's general interest in the market. The last 10 years have been fantastic. And what's going to happen in the next 10 years is going to be really interesting because we're certainly curious about whether there's going to be changes in payment for order flow from a regulatory standpoint. I'm curious about how AI affects trading, affects the market, algorithmic trading. So there's a lot of interesting things on the horizon. The last 10 years have been amazing. I hope the next 10 years are just as great.
I'm sure listeners would love to hear from you on this. What is something somebody should look for in a trading mentor or in trading tools and indicators? What's your thought on that?
Well, it's, I guess, a two-part question. I'll answer the first part first. So what should someone look for in a trading mentor? I think, and I'm biased, of course, because I am an educator, but I think one of the things that is really important to look for is verified profitability. You know, when I meet somebody at a party, I don't introduce myself and tell them, oh, I turned $500 into this much money. But as an educator, as a trader, I really do have to put that out there pretty early on because it's important that people know the person they're learning from is qualified. You know, it's not quite enough to learn the mechanics and the general structure of the market from someone who understands generally how the stock market works, but hasn't been able to actually produce a profit for themselves. I suppose very, very beginner classes could be taught by someone who's not profitable. But at a certain level, if you're aspiring to really learn, doesn't it make sense to learn from someone who has skin in the game and who has actually produced a proven track record? So again, I say that obviously because I have one and I'm really proud of it, but I'm always skeptical when I see somebody out there that's touting a strategy or is selling education, but does not anywhere show any verified profitability. It makes me inherently, and I think it's the right response, a little bit skeptical. Now, when it comes to trading tools and indicators especially are only good if you use them consistently. A lot of people will get really excited about indicators. They'll be like, oh, this is going to be the holy grail indicator. I'm going to use this. And they get kind of sucked into the marketing around maybe someone selling an indicator. So for all of our tools that we offer, they're very simple. We're not out there trying to say that this is a indicator that's a red light, green light, because I don't think those work. People say they work, but I really don't think they do. What I think is more important is finding a set of tools that you're going to use consistently. So the basic tools of charts and scanners and, of course, your trading platform, as long as they're robust, they're stable, they perform well, especially with low latency, that's about as much as I think most retail traders need.
Ross, really want to thank you for your time spent with us here today and for the insight and information shared per your expertise. Before you go, and in conclusion, any closing thoughts, a takeaway, or one last final tip for the listeners tuning in today?
One thing that I would say is that I've learned the hard way that decisions, both for a trading strategy, but also for a business, have to be made using some type of measuring stick. So by following a predetermined plan that includes measurements for a predicted outcome, then you can measure the actual outcome with the expectations you set ahead of time. These are the pre-kill criteria. It's essentially laying out ahead of time, what does success look like? Because when we don't lay out our definition of success ahead of time, then in the moment, whether we have a new product or we have a strategy, it's really hard for us to reflect on whether or not this is actually success, because we become biased. We start to get the fatigue of having spent all this time working on something, and so our ability to see it very objectively disappears. So I would say, whether you're starting a business or a trading strategy, one of the most important things is to create a plan, even if you're doing rapid experimentation, and set some predetermined measurements of what success is going to look like for you.
Tremendous bit of advice. We want to thank you for those concluding remarks and advice as we conclude here today. Where can listeners get more information on Warrior Trading and on yourself as well?
WarriorTrading.com.
And that's about as easy as it gets, and we'll leave that link also within the show notes of this broadcast. Ross, all the best. Thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks so much for your time.
And you're more than welcome. Again, we've been speaking with Mr. Ross Cameron, a full-time day trader and founder of Warrior Trading, that offers trading tools and educational courses for day traders. And for all the details, visit warriortrading.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.